I'm Echo.
And I'm Ether. Welcome to another Cohere Technologies Deep Dive podcast.
The physical world of telecommunications is just fundamentally hostile to how we currently build and train AI.
Massive hostile, yeah.
So today's deep dive is an exclusive look into a highly technical published academic manuscript, along with its actual peer review rebuttal documents. They're dated June 10th, 2026.
And the paper is titled, A Universal Neural Receiver That Learns at the Speed of Wireless.
Right. And our mission today is to decode this cutting-edge research, look at the back and forth between the authors and some very skeptical reviewers, and, you know, really understand how a radically new, lightweight AI is about to change 6G networks forever.
It's a fascinating paper.
It is. But before we can even look at their solution, we have to unpack why traditional AI, even multi-billion dollar models, just completely fails in telecommunications.
Yeah, it all comes down to a very specific bottleneck. It's called the transmit time interval, or TTI.
The TTI. Okay. Break that down for us.
So the TTI is essentially the heartbeat of a cellular network. It is this microscopic window of time where a 5G or next G base station assigns network resources to your phone.
And when you say microscopic, we are talking about, what, a sub-millisecond time scale?
Exactly. Sub-millisecond. So in one single millisecond, an AI doing natural language processing might just be figuring out the next statistical word in a sentence.
Right, taking its time.
Yeah, but in that exact same millisecond, the physical environment of a wireless signal has changed entirely.
Because you moved your hand, or like a bus drove by, or someone else in your office just started downloading a massive file on the same network?
Precisely. Mm-hmm. See, cellular networks aren't really limited by weak signals. They're primarily limited by interference.
Okay, interference.
Yeah, every time a signal bounces off that bus or that building, the interference profile changes. And it changes every single TTI.
To give you a sense of the astronomical complexity the network faces, the authors provide this very grounded, localized example in the paper.
Yeah, the 5 PRB example.
Right. So imagine a single base station with only 5 physical resource blocks, or PRBs. You can think of those blocks as distinct frequency lanes on a highway. And imagine it serving just 5 active users.
Which honestly sounds incredibly simple. 5 lanes, 5 cars.
Right. But it appears simple until you actually calculate the permutations.
Oh, the math gets crazy fast. Because if the base station schedules at most 1 user per frequency block, there are 65 possible scheduling options.
Yay.
But modern networks use MIMO, which is multiple input, multiple output. That means the base station can actually schedule multiple users on the same frequency block they share the lane by utilizing multiple antennas.
Okay, so if you allow just 2 users to share each block, the number of potential scheduling options skyrockets to, 6 times 5, all to the power of 5.
Yep.
I actually ran that math while I was reading the paper. That is 24.3 million scheduling options.
Yeah, 24 million. And the base station has to make the absolute best choice out of those options every single sub-millisecond.
Which is just wild.
Yeah.
So to manage that kind of complexity, traditional AI models rely on massive offline training. Like, engineers feed them petabytes of historical data. The models spend months in a server farm learning patterns. And then, and only then, they're deployed into the real world.
But in wireless networks, that strategy runs straight into a brick wall. The authors call it generalization uncertainty.
Generalization uncertainty, meaning the physical world is just too chaotic for an offline data set to capture every possible interference scenario.
Exactly. An AI trained on offline data, mapping the physical environment of New York City, will completely fail when it's deployed in Dallas or Delhi.
Because the buildings are made of different materials, the streets are laid out differently.
Right, and the user scheduling interferences are totally unique to that specific moment and place.
It makes me think of, like, traditional AI is like a student taking an incredibly fast-paced test, but they have zero short-term memory.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, so every time a single variable in the room changes, like a cloud blocks the sun, or someone drops a pencil, the student has to physically run all the way back to the library, read a brand new textbook on this new environment, and then run back to the desk.
And if the test is changing 1,000 times a second, any AI relying on a library of historical data is just going to freeze up. It can't keep up.
Right. So you can't force an AI to learn at the speed of wireless if it constantly relies on historical offline data.
You really can't. So since offline training is totally unworkable for real-time physics, the authors of this 2026 paper propose a genuinely radical new architecture.
And this is the core breakthrough. Instead of forcing the AI to learn how the physical world works from scratch using massive data sets, They just embed the laws of physics directly into the AI's architecture.
Yes. They tell the AI what we already know. The paper uses the word convolution constantly to describe those laws of physics.
Let's ground that concept for a second. What is physically happening to the signal in the air when we talk about convolution?
Okay, so all wireless channels, regardless of what frequency band you're using or what kind of waveform is carrying the data, they're all governed by the mathematical operation of convolution.
Okay.
When a base station sends a signal, it doesn't just travel on a perfectly straight line directly to your phone. It bounces. It bounces off glass, concrete, metal.
Right. It scatters everywhere.
Exactly. And it mixes with other signals. So what actually arrives at your phone's antenna is this convoluted, overlapping mess of waves. It's basically an intricate echo chamber.
Okay, so if the underlying physical problem of the universe is always convolution, then the AI's only job should be deconvolution, untangling the echoes.
Untangling the echoes, exactly. And to achieve that deconvolution, the authors do not use a massive transformer model like the ones powering text and image generators.
Thank goodness, because those are way too slow.
Way too slow. Instead, they use a recurrent neural network, an RNN, combined with a highly specialized technique called reservoir computing.
Reservoir computing. This part of the paper, I'll admit, required a few read-throughs for me.
Yeah, it gets pretty dense.
It does. It breaks the AI's internal parameters down into two distinct categories, poles and weights.
Right. So in a neural network acting as a filter, making the AI learn the poles from scratch takes way, way too much computational power.
Because the mathematical convergence is agonizingly slow, right? You'd instantly miss your sub-millisecond deadline.
Exactly. In signal processing, a pole dictates how a signal oscillates or decays over time.
Okay, so how long an echo lasts?
Yeah. If a pole is located near what mathematicians call the unit circle on a complex plane, it represents an echo that rings out for a long time.
Like shouting in a canyon.
Yes. And if a pole is located near the origin, the center of that mathematical plane, it represents a quick, dull thud of a signal that dies out almost immediately.
Got it.
So if you try to use standard AI learning techniques to figure out all these different decay rates on the fly, the math just grinds to a total halt.
But their solution is fascinating because they don't even try to learn the poles. The paper notes they just randomly generate fixed poles.
They hard code them, basically.
Right. They make a dense cluster of them near the unit circle to handle the long echoes, and a sparse cluster near the origin for the short echoes. They build this static, unmoving reservoir of potential physical dynamics.
Yep. And the AI's only actual learning job is to train the weights. They give the AI the fundamental structure of the physical world before it even turns on.
Wait, I still struggle to see how an AI with fixed random components can be universally effective, though.
Sure.
Well, if they randomly generate these poles and just freeze them in place, isn't there a massive risk that they miss the actual correct frequencies of a unique environment?
Oh, I see what you mean.
It's like setting up a multi-million-dollar soundboard for a heavy metal concert, but you accidentally locked in the underlying frequencies for a quiet jazz quartet. You're just rigged for the wrong game.
That would totally be a risk, yeah, if they only generated a few poles. But the genius of reservoir computing is creating a massive, diverse pool of potential dynamics.
Ah, okay.
The AI does not need every single pole to perfectly match the environment. It just needs enough variety in the reservoir to cover the basics of reality.
Okay, so it has a huge menu of options.
Exactly. And the weights, which are the parts the AI actually adjusts in real time, act like the volume faders on your soundboard analogy.
Okay, so let me make sure I've got this. The engineers basically hardwire every possible frequency into the board based on the known physics of sound. The AI doesn't have to build the soundboard from scratch every millisecond.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Its only job is to quickly slide the volume faders the weights up and down to isolate the data from the background noise, depending on which echoes are currently active in the room.
That's spot on. By telling the neural network what we already know about the physics of wireless channels, they strip away all the heavy mathematical lifting.
Wow.
The AI only has to focus its incredibly limited computational power on learning the things that actually change from moment to moment.
It is an incredibly elegant theory. But of course, it's easy to make bold claims in a paper. We transition now into the actual peer-reviewed documents where we get to see how actual scientists reacted to this.
And Reviewer 2, in particular, was aggressively skeptical.
Yeah, Reviewer 2 was not pulling any punches.
Well, peer review is meant to be a gauntlet, right?
Right.
And Reviewer 2 zeroed right in on the boldest claim, the total elimination of offline training. The reviewer essentially stated, "I don't buy it. You're still relying on predefined pole distributions and established statistical models. Prove to me that this neural network configures itself entirely online, in real time, and prove it against other modern deep learning baselines.
But the authors did not back down.
No, they didn't.
They pointed out that their network configures its input and recurrent weights entirely online using time-averaged empirical channel statistics.
Yes, and they proved it by showing this is exactly how traditional mathematical 5G filters already operate. The paper specifically references the LMMSE filter.
The LMSE.
Yeah, the linear minimum mean square error filter. It's a mouthful, but it's the gold standard mathematical algorithm that has literally kept our cell phones connected for decades.
Okay, so it's the old reliable math.
Exactly.
Okay.
It calculates the statistical average of interference to estimate the original signal. And the authors demonstrated that their neural network isn't relying on hidden offline data at all. It is mirroring the exact real-time statistical operations of the LMMSE filter.
Right, but doing it with a flexible neural architecture instead of rigid traditional math.
Precisely.
Reviewer 2 also demanded a comparison against other deep learning models. Specifically, this very popular model-driven birth line called MMNet.
Oh yeah, MMNet attempts to unfold mathematical algorithms into neural layers, but the thing is, it still requires significant training.
Right. So the authors ran the simulations, and the resulting data was honestly a complete academic beatdown.
It was a bloodbath.
The authors' lightweight reservoir-based neural receiver absolutely crushed MMNet. In fact, MMNet performed noticeably worse than the traditional non-AI mathematical models.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing for MMNet.
MMNet required 2 orders of magnitude more computational complexity.
Which is huge.
That's 100 times more complex just to deliver a worse signal than standard math.
Yeah, it's highly inefficient.
Yeah.
And Reviewer 2 also pushed hard on the over-the-air training sample limit.
Right, because the AI only has a fraction of a millisecond to train its weights using real-world data sent over the air.
So the reviewer wanted hard numbers on real-time feasibility, like how much network capacity is wasted just sending training data to the AI.
And the authors proved they only need a 9.5% overhead. Out of the hundreds of symbols transmitted in a standard TTI, they only need 16 reference symbols to train the weights and make the entire architecture work.
Just 16. It's incredible. But we really have to look at the computational complexity formulas, the big O notation, to truly understand why beating MMNet and the traditional math matters so much.
Okay, let's look at the formulas.
So the traditional mathematical approach, the LMSE receiver, has a computational complexity of O of N sub SC cubed.
Okay, O of N is C cubed. To break down that jargon a bit, NSC represents the number of subcarriers or frequency bands in the signal.
Exactly. And the cube means that as the number of subcarriers increases, the computing power required to process the math goes up exponentially. Calculating the matrix inversions for LMSE becomes a colossal bottleneck.
Okay, so if the formula is O of NSE cubed, that means if the network gets 10 times more complex, your phone's processor has to work 1,000 times harder.
Right.
Which means your battery overheats and your phone dies in like 2 hours just trying to maintain a 6G connection.
And nobody wants that. But the authors proved that their physics-embedded neural receiver has a drastically different complexity. O of N sub SC plus N sub RS squared.
Wait, so the subcarriers are no longer cubed?
No, they're just a linear addition to the formula now. You're only squaring the tiny number of reference signals, N as ours, okay, which we already established is just 16 symbols.
Wow. So the underlying math proves this AI is vastly lighter, faster, and way more power efficient than the traditional standard.
Vastly. It's a game changer.
So they completely satisfied Reviewer 2's demands for efficiency and real-time proof. But then Reviewers 1 and 3 demanded to see the actual scale.
Right. They wanted the exact size of this neural network and proof of its quote-unquote universality across different scenarios.
Because the authors claim this architecture works for any signal, any frequency band, and any physical environment.
Yeah. A very bold claim. So the reviewers demanded the exact hyperparameters and proof it works in extreme, rapidly changing conditions.
The big reveal of the hyperparameters is honestly shocking.
It really is.
Because when we hear about AI today, we hear about massive models with billions or trillions of parameters, chatbots that require entire server farms.
Oh yeah, huge energy hogs.
But this universal neural receiver has 4 input neurons, 4 output neurons, and just 32 recurrent neurons.
32 recurrent neurons. It completely challenges the entire current ethos of artificial intelligence.
It's so small. A traditional LLM feels like a million-man army trying to map every single blade of grass and grain of sand in a dense forest just to find a walking path.
Right.
But this 32-neuron receiver is like a team of 32 expert trackers who already understand how water flows and how moss grows. They don't try to map the entire forest. They just read the underlying physics of their immediate environment to instantly find the trail.
That targeted expertise is the core philosophy here. If you embed the physics into the architecture, you don't need a billion parameters. You just need a hyper-efficient team of 32 neurons doing exactly what they're meant to do.
And the proof of that philosophy was delivered in the high-speed velocity tests.
Yes, the 450 kilometer an hour test.
Right, because they tested this tiny neural receiver on two completely different wireless waveforms to prove its universality. First, they used standard MIMO OFDM at 30 kilometers an hour, simulating a user driving through a normal city block.
And in that test, the neural receiver matched the traditional, highly complex LMFC mathematical model perfectly, but with a mere fraction of the computational drain.
Then they escalated to an extreme scenario. They tested it on a highly complex waveform called MIMO-MC-OTFS.
OTFS. That's a waveform specifically designed for environments with massive Doppler shifts where the frequency of the signal warps violently due to extreme speed.
Right. And they tested this waveform at a blistering 450 kilometers an hour. High-speed bullet train velocities.
Which is an incredibly hostile environment for a signal.
So how do 32 neurons process a violently warping signal at 450 kilometers an hour better than a supercomputer running traditional math?
Well, at 450 kilometers an hour, the physical environment changes so fast that any system trying to calculate the entire mathematical matrix from scratch, like the O of N cubed LMMSE filter, it simply runs out of time.
The traditional matrix inversion bottleneck just takes too long.
Exactly. But the 32 neurons aren't calculating a massive matrix. They're just running a quick forward pass through their pre-calculated physical reservoir.
Oh.
Yeah, they bypass the math bottleneck entirely because they already know how the echoes should behave.
Wow. And in that 450 kilometer an hour bullet train test, the 32 neuron AI achieved a 2 decibel gain over both the LMMSE and another advanced traditional receiver called ILSMR.
And a 2 decibel gain is a massive operational victory.
Really? 2 decibels doesn't sound like a lot.
Well, in telecommunications, decibels are logarithmic. So every 3 decibels equates to a doubling of power.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so gaining 2 decibels in a high-speed, high-interference environment means you can maintain the exact same data rate while using significantly less transmission power, or you can massively extend the coverage area of a single cell tower.
It didn't just match the highly complex mathematical models. Decisively outperform them where they struggle most.
Exactly.
What this means for anyone listening who has ever suffered through a dropped call or a buffering video on a train is that when Next-G or 6G rolls out, your connection will be fundamentally different.
Totally different.
Whether you are walking through a crowded stadium or riding a high-speed train across the country, your device will adapt instantly to interference. And because this AI avoids that massive computational nightmare, it will maintain that flawless connection without destroying your battery life.
This research represents a paradigm shift that extends far beyond just telecommunications.
Yeah, I mean, we explored how brute-forcing AI with offline data from massive servers created generalization uncertainty in dynamic environments.
The solution to complex real-world problems was not a bigger, more data-hungry AI.
No, the solution was a smarter, incredibly tiny 32-neuron network. By using domain knowledge and explicitly telling the neural network the physical laws of the universe it actually exists in, they allowed it to skip offline training entirely.
It just deconvolutes the messy signals.
Yeah.
Using a static reservoir of fixed poles, dynamically training its weight faders on the fly.
It forces us to realize how computationally wasteful and brute force a lot of our current AI technology truly is.
It really does. It makes you question the current trend of just throwing more data at everything.
It leaves us with a fascinating implication to ponder, honestly. If embedding physics and domain knowledge directly into the architecture of a tiny 32-neuron AI allows it to learn and adapt in sub-milliseconds with zero offline data, what other massive, slow, and incredibly power-hungry AI systems in our everyday lives could be completely revolutionized by this physics-aware, domain-knowledge-first approach?
It's like a great question.
Maybe the future of artificial intelligence isn't about blindly building bigger and bigger data models. Maybe the future is about teaching tiny models the fundamental rules of the game so they can finally fix those dropped calls behind the building.